Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. June 15th, 2023. What a beautiful day it's been. Oh, we've had rain and blue skies and wind and everything else, but it's been a beautiful end. Summer's almost over. Been a beautiful spring day today here at the Radio Ranch. Hope you've had a blessed day as well. Live program tonight, June 15th, so we've got the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. Going to start out with a word of prayer. We encourage you to do that. We have time right now. Talk about that a little bit tonight. We're practicing. It's still practice right now for a lot of us, at least at some times in our life. And so we're thankful for that, and we get the opportunity to be here tonight, and we're certainly thankful for that. So let's give thanks. Let's acknowledge God in all things that we think, say, and do, and that's for each and every one of us. It is. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day of life. Thank you for the health, Lord, and the safety and the welfare that you have poured upon your people, that you have put out upon us. And Lord, I thank you for it. Thank you for the opportunities that you've given us today. And thank you for the, well, Lord, for the ability to be here tonight, to have fellowship with you and with your remnant, with those that love you. Lord, we thank you that we take some time out of our busy day, our busy week, Lord, to look at your word, to see the events of the day in your light, in the light of your word. Thank you for opening our eyes to these very things. We praise you. We thank you for this time that we have together. We give you the glory, Lord, for all that is going on, for your mercy that endureth forever, for your patience, your desire, Lord, that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. We thank you for that. Thank you for this word that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor that struggled and strived and succeeded, Lord, in sharing your word with the remnant, with opening so many eyes, bringing so many to the true gospel message of Jesus Christ, repentance and baptism and the desire and striving to live that sanctified life, turning away from the world and turning to you. Lord, we thank you that we continue today to see more and more doing that very thing, turning from the wicked ways of the world and turning to you, listening and answering to that, to your law that's written on their heart. That's why, Lord, that's why they are turning from the wickedness of today. They don't even know it. Help us to help them to know it, Lord, to show them. And we pray all this to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And Remnant, we do have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. And several current events going on. As I was looking over them, well, this week, working on completing the Volume 4 online newsletter. Don't have it quite complete yet. Hope to get that thing mailed out tomorrow. We're putting the finishing touches on it. We'll get it emailed out to you tomorrow. We did get the mailed newsletter in the mail, so you should be getting that Volume 4 pretty quick. Sent some extras out today to some people that had requested them. And so if you get that via email, or if you'd like to, we hope to be getting that out tomorrow, hopefully. But looking over the current events of the day, and I could sum it up, I guess. I wrote this down, that it seems like the enemy is practicing and planning for the destruction of this Christian American Republic. Because that's what we were given. That's what our forefathers gave us, was a republic, not a democracy, not a demonocracy where 51% make the rules. No, that's not what they were giving us. They gave us a Christian republic and said that that's what we've been given if we can keep it. If we can keep it. So we'll see. We'll see if we can keep it. And, or at least the ideals of that Christian American republic. No, it hasn't been perfect. It hasn't. But it was certainly better when God's law was the law of the land. When we didn't have the crimes that we have today. We didn't have the murders and the rapes and the attacks on our children that we have today. Saw this headline, Good Morning America was planning on, you know, they go around to different parts of the country and film live in the morning and have their programs and everybody lines up and all that. They were going to try to do that in San Francisco as they have done in the past. Too dangerous. Too dangerous now for even Good Morning America to come to you live from San Francisco. And that is by design. It is absolutely by design. It is part of that planned destruction of the Christian Republic that we have. I see the phone lines ringing. Let me go to that. Let me get the buttons pushed, and let's see. Is that it? Good evening. Welcome to the program. Good evening, Patrick. How are you this night, this great evening?
I mean, you almost cut it with a knife, but the wind has switched, and hopefully it's blowing it back into Canada.
Okay. Hopefully, huh?
Yeah. So it's just been a great day today. It's cool. The weather, mid-70s, nice 56 degree morning. A few years ago it was, at this time it was about 100 degrees out. You're sweating. You couldn't even go outside,
Sure.
We'll take it.
Sure.
We'll take it.
It has been, a blessed spring for most of the country. Talking with Brother Paul and Zach, they've sure mentioned how dry that Michigan has been. Quite a bit drier, but the last few years have been pretty wet, and so it a bit of a shift, a bit of a change, but it seems like at least most of the West, the fires have been almost non-existent, more water, more snow, reservoirs filling up. It really has been a blessed spring and this past winter out here in the West.
Yeah, it's been dry here. You can definitely tell the difference. I was out to the Dakotas last weekend, and it's plenty of green out there. Water, water in the pastures. That's probably the same similar climate as you guys have in Wyoming there. Kind of a little bit more arid.
Sure.
The grass is green, and it didn't help for shooting prairie dogs last week, but usually you can see them. With the grass, but they're kind of hiding in the grass and stuff, tall grass, so.
Sure. Yeah, well, when you mentioned that the other day, I'm glad you called because I wanted to talk about that a little bit. It ties in with something that's been on my mind lately, and that's practice. We've been practicing. God has given us the opportunity to be practicing. And you might think, well, practicing what? And I would say just about everything, practicing everything. We've talked many times about how convenient our life is today with electricity and heat and air and of course, the power to do anything and vehicles to comfortably. I was on the way home yesterday evening, and about a half hour before the prayer meeting, and we had a hailstorm roll through, and I was driving my Jeep back and had the top on, and all it was loud. I didn't get pelted. If I'd have been in a wagon, that would have been a mess. And so we have a convenient lifestyle today, but I think God allows us, he's been allowing us to practice. Maybe if things were a little not so convenient, practice growing our own food, for instance. Now, nobody's had to in the last, generations, had to, survive on their own food that they could grow. And that's been a good thing. But I think he's given us the opportunity to expand in that area, to go back and learn from people that have been growing food. And I think many of the books that we've been carrying, this latest one, The Ecological Farm, are big on sharing that type of knowledge. And I got to thinking, well, it's almost like why? Why? And I think that it is that we're able to practice. You hear in the world, practice makes perfect, right? The more you practice, the better you get. And there's many sayings, whether it's in the fire service or in the military or whatever, that basically you're going to perform the way you practice, the way you train. If you train haphazardly, whether you're a fireman or a policeman or a soldier in the army, then that's how you're going to perform. Many people think that, well, I can just get by with doing this haphazardly or however now, but when it's really important, when it hits the fan, well, I'll be able to perform. I'll be able to do what I need to do. And it's just not that way. And when you were talking about shooting prairie dogs, that kind of was about a fourth witness to me. Because shooting prairie dogs is fun. And I'd never done that till we moved out here. But it has been fun for me, for my five boys that I've raised. The girls never cared too much about doing it. My youngest daughter's 15. She likes to get out every now and then and shoot some. But the boys have just, it has been almost a rite of passage, a way of life in their upbringing. I can remember back when ammo was cheaper than it is now, but my oldest two boys, it was nothing to give them a brick of 22s, that's 500 rounds, and tell them, take the Jeep out and go shoot prairie dogs on a Saturday afternoon. And sometimes they'd come back and get another brick and go back out. And even when we get to do things like that, it's practice. It's not the end. And I don't know if I'm rambling, Patrick, but that was the thoughts that were occurring to me, that even in that physical shooting of prairie dogs, that it's, in a way, it's practice. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, and it sure beats having to go out there and set up your targets.
It does.
It's not like it's not like you're going to shoot them out of existence either. And the more you shoot them, it seems like God provides more targets.
That's right.
They're little rodents. I was thinking about this the other day, and when I was out there, with the, there's a lot of talk these days about, climate change and the carbon footprint and all this stuff. And, and there's a, in recent years, they have, especially out in the Dakotas, they've had to switch their way they farm. They use the no-till or minimum till, they hold that carbon into the ground. Holds the moisture in the ground. But now you go out in a prairie dog town and you look around there, and it's like, usually, man, there's hardly a blade of grass there, and they got all these holes in the ground, and all this carbon. They always talk about carbon. So look at all these prairie dogs. They're just you know, they're creating all this pollution and carbon going in the atmosphere, you know, so it's beneficial, really, just to go out there and, you know, thin out the herd a little.
It is. And it's another way that, again, it you know, people in upstate New York might not understand it. And when I lived in Florida and South Carolina, it was a foreign concept to me. But it's just one aspect of practice that I think God is allowing us to do. I think any type of target practice is that way. Sometimes I grew up on a skeet and trap field, worked that all through junior high and high school and first year of college. And it was great practice, not just shooting, but learning gun safety and practicing gun safety. And those are habits that I developed at a young age and had them drilled into me. It wasn't from me. It was from the 12 grandfathers I had there at the gun club that drilled them into me, of keeping the gun safe and the barrel pointed in a safe direction and things like that. And then, of course, sure, I've been able to pass those on to other people and to my children and things like that. And so I don't mean to, it's not accolades for me, but it's just those things that we practice. You have to practice, and shooting is definitely one of them. It's been hard to practice lately because ammo prices have been up. They're better now, but you have to do that to be proficient at it. It's like that. We've talked about the marathon runners. They don't just wake up on Tuesday morning and say, "Hey, I'm going to run the Boston Marathon this Sunday," and go do that. No, they practice. They practice. I don't know if you saw, they just had this past week, maybe it's into 2 weeks ago now, but the women's college softball just finished up with their little, whatever they call their World Series in college or whatever, and Oklahoma won, I think, for the third year in a row. The Oklahoma women's college softball team. I don't watch sports. I don't really pay attention to it. But it caught my eye because when ESPN was interviewing them, they were talking about how, yes, they practiced hard and did that, but they gave the glory to God. And it wasn't just like, yeah, we give the glory to God. But we mentioned it the other day. If you haven't seen that, I would suggest you Google it and take a look at it, because these young ladies, they were all praising Christ. This one late girl said, you know, when we won 3 years ago, this is our third year, she said, when I was a sophomore, she said, it was all great and great, but the next day, it was like, what now? It was this crash. And it was like it didn't matter, because the next day was just another day. And she said, I had to find Christ to make it worthwhile. And she found Christ, I'm sure, through her teammates. Her teammates helped her with that. And so those young ladies certainly practiced hard, in the coach and all of them, to have a three-peat for winning the women's collegiate softball, whatever. They certainly practiced. They didn't just come out on game day. They practiced and practiced and practiced to get to be the best. And they gave the glory to God. All of them did. And it's a great interview. The ESPN guy, he talks to one, then to the other, and she's like, yep, absolutely. And then they go to the coach. And they asked the coach, well, coach, what about you? What do you, certainly you guys have practiced hard and this and that, and what do you attribute all this success to? And the coach says, she just told you. and praise God with it. And so I just mentioned that. That's encouraging to me. And I guess maybe that's what them talking a little bit about all the hard work and practice that they put in, and it paid off for them. It paid off for them, not just in winning the collegiate whatever in the nation, But the things that they've done, and I guess that even giving the glory to God during those interviews and stuff, that I don't think that's something that just popped into their head. I think that they had probably talked about that, about not being ashamed of giving credit where credit is due, and that's to God, and praising Jesus Christ in it. And it just seemed to me that they had practiced that as well. I didn't know, Patrick, if you'd heard of that or had a chance to look at that or not.
No, I'll have to check that out. I've been noticing, you know, more and more and more that, you know, we're in our little group, you know, that we have here, that, you know, a lot of talk about God and Jesus Christ, and you know, it's refreshing, you know, people are not ashamed, you know, praying at, you know, if you're out, you know, it's one thing if you're at home and at supper time, you pray, but then, you know, it's another, when you see it out in public and where people pray, and, you know, you're starting to see a little bit of that stuff now, because I think people are realizing that, hey, you know, we're not gonna save this country. We're not gonna save this country by a vote. It's God Save America again, and a lot of people, I'm seeing that more and more and more where.
Yeah. Yes.
People are openly talking, you know, in public about God and giving glory to God. You know, it's refreshing, you know.
It is.
And I'm seeing it a lot more in the last couple of years than I've ever have.
I am too. I'm seeing the same thing. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, somebody sent me a link of this online guy, Sears, I don't know, JP or JD Sears or something.
And
he was talking about, he made the comment that as all this evil increases, that he was sure it was an unintended consequence, but it was pushing people to God. Because as the evil was being more concentrated and being more prevalent than in the past, that there were many people that were seeing it and saying, I don't want anything to do with that, and moving away from it. And he used the term polarizing. You know, it draws some people in, but it was pushing many more people away. And I like what he said about it. He said, you know, when you're moving away from evil, you're moving in the right direction. You're moving whether you know it or not. And that's what he talked about. He said there's more people that are moving toward Christianity and they don't even know it. And it's because of that. It's because they were moving, and we're seeing it, they're moving away from evil. And God in his infinite wisdom and love and mercy and grace, you know, even when you don't know what you're doing, but you're moving in the right direction, that's pleasing to him. That's a good thing. And like you said, seeing more people talk about God, more people not ashamed, more people saying, yeah, that stuff's just wrong, and the Bible even says so, and things like that. You know, we're seeing more and more of it. I've said it before, you know, for the most part, we are live and let live people, right? You don't bother me, and I'm not going to bother you. And that's to our shame. It really is. We should not be that way, because I don't think our God is that way. And because we're that way, see, the enemy's not that way. The enemy's cram it down your throat. It's rebellion. And they just, they're never satisfied. They are insatiable. The enemy is. It's always more and more and more and more. You know, it wasn't enough just to have the queers, the homosexuals in the closet. Because that's where they were for I would say, in this country at least, probably hundreds of years. Oh, when they found out, you know, years ago, if there were any, I'm sure there were, they just, it wasn't part of the public consciousness. It wasn't talked about. It wasn't approved. It wasn't accepted. Much like divorce, much like thievery, stealing. I mean, it was there, but it was rare. And it wasn't enough just to be able to be a homosexual in the closet. No, they had to come out of the closet. And then it's grown to where they had to put it in front of your face, whether it was in Hollywood or in the books or the magazines, and just flaunt it and flaunt it and cram it down your throat to the point that even supposedly our most revered White House, that's supposed to kind of be an honorable place, had such a debacle this past weekend to celebrate Pride Month. Topless people. I mean, it was all but a whore fest at the White House. And the president and first lady just grinning and loving it. And that's how our enemy is. And that's not enough for them. They want to recruit our children. And for them to succeed, that's what they have to do, because they do not reproduce. They have to recruit and destroy. And anyway, I didn't mean to get off on this ramble, but we're seeing as that grows and grows and grows, and sometimes we think, oh my gosh, where's it ever going to end? It will end, and it's really just a minority of the people that are doing it. It's just they're getting the, you know, they're getting their 5 minutes in the sun, so to speak. But more and more people, because of this, because they're part of that new covenant, they have that law written on their heart, they're saying, I don't want anything to do with it. And they're saying it's wrong. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing that they are, that there's more and more that are waking up to it.
And that's where our ministry comes in. You know, like you said, people are moving away from evil, and they're moving to righteousness. So what we've been taught by Pastor Peters for so many years, you know, we need to step up and you know, gently, you know, show those people the truth, you know, and not the brand of churchianity that you would get in your local church, you know, the watered down,
right,
milk toast, you know, really to show them the truth, and a lot of it, I believe it, you know, we are Israel. I was speaking to somebody, this was a couple of years ago, and I had mentioned that, you know, we are Israel. We are the Israelites, you know, of the 12 tribes, you know. And this person goes, well, yeah. And it just made sense. And this, well, we have to be.
Right.
It has to be that way. We have to be of Israel. You know, Israel, the 10 tribes went into the Syrian captivity and you know, moved into Europe, you know, went across the ocean, ended up in America, you know, went to, you know, all the so-called Western nations, you know, that we have to be. It just fits.
It does.
Just fits historically.
It does.
I think if we could get that people to see that, you know, that because God, you know, is saving Israel, you know, and we are Israel, so God's going to save us, you know, God's going to save America again, and, you know, America how do you want to say it, that central force that, you know, we're all the, you know, God's word flowed from, you know, where America what produced what 96-97% of the Bibles in the world, you know, come out of American corporations,
right?
Or you know, printers,
right?
And
they may print them in Taiwan, so but they put them together. Yeah. They design it here, and it always has been that way. You know, the Septuagint Bible that we have, it's called the Thompson Septuagint. I don't know if I've got any more. Every now and then I can get some. But Charles Thompson, he was like Secretary of the Congress for years, and he put it together, translated it, and had it printed here back in the, you know, in the late 1700s. And so, and it's just been that way. Not just America, but you go all the way back to Gutenberg Bible and all, and that was printed. Why? Who printed God's word? Did the Jews do that? No. Not since the time of Christ. No. Never. Who was it? Who was it? It was the same people that did it in the Old Testament, but it was the Hebrews, the Israelites, the Caucasians. I too had a chance to share that just last week with a neighbor. And asked him, you know, why are you called a Caucasian? And he kind of looked at me, and I gave him a quick history lesson, you know, from the Bible and the Caucasus Mountains there out between Russia and Europe and the dispersion and the 12 tribes. And he knows his Bible, and you could kind of see light bulbs coming on. Sure. It's a lot to digest all at once, but, you know, when the light bulbs start coming on and they start thinking and asking questions. Hey, what about this? What about that? That they're thinking. And you're right. I think that is, you know, we've been practicing so far. And mm-hmm. It's fixing to be game time. And for some of us it is.
Yep.
Some of us it is. And you know, whether it is the game time of, like you said, people they're moving away from evil. They're wanting to know more. They know things are wrong. They're looking. They're wanting things to be better. Whether it's those people, and that's the game that we're put in, that we can help, like you said, with patience and love to guide and direct them and answer some of their questions and point them to scriptures and to God and to the Bible, you know, or if it's the game that, it's game time. We've been praying for others. We've been, you know, reading about our faith and stuff. And sometimes it hits home. Sometimes it hits home. Let me tell you, when my daughter, she's 15 now, but at 12, when she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes and going into a diabetic coma, I had been praying, but I learned to pray some more. And when I got her comatose to the hospital, and you know, they tell me what I already knew, that she was very sick, and life flighted to Children's Hospital and all that, and you know, I knew, and diagnosed with something that has a 55% fatality rate in the hospital. You know, that's game time. That's game time. For prayer and supplication and trusting in God. And Patrick, I know you've been through those things. And I think almost every brother that we have on the ministry and every family has been through those things. And some are going through them now. I talked to my neighbor today. She called me. They're zooming out to Salt Lake. Had a nephew commit suicide yesterday. You know, it is these trials and tribulations are part of our life today, much more than they were a generation ago. And so for many of us, you know, that's when it's batter up. Hey, you're up to bat. It's time. It's your time, you know, for us to put these things that we've been practicing into action, so to speak.
Sure, just like you know, the difference between belief and faith. You know, faith is, you know, putting your belief in action.
Yes.
You know, I know Pastor Peters, I know he's got a, I can't remember, he's got a song, I don't remember the title of it, you know, where he's talking about, why didn't you tell me this? You know which one I'm talking about.
Right.
And you know, so, you know, I thought you were my friend. Why didn't you tell me this? And to point these things out to your friends, say, hey, you know, that just ain't right. You know, I don't consume pork, not knowingly. Anyway, you know, it's in a lot of things that we don't, you know, a lot of things that we eat. They may not necessarily be in ingredients. And so I tell, you know, people ask, well, why don't you eat pork? And I says, well, you know, one, it's got this trichinosis in there, and you can't kill it no matter how hot you get it. And another, it's an unclean food, you know. And a lot of people say, well, you know, that all was all changed. I'm like, I don't think so. You really got to read your Bible, you know. You know, God's law still stands, you know. It still stands, you know.
Right.
Like I give the example is, you know, gravity is part of God's law. You know, you go try to break that law, you know.
That's right.
Climb up in your house and jump off, man. You're lucky if you walk away with just a limp, you know. So these are God's law. You know, he didn't do it. That hasn't been done away with. You know, Jesus fulfilled the law. But it still stands. We're under the new covenant, you know.
And we have to be practicing these things in our own lives.
Yep.
And it's how we, you know, how we practice, what we do, what we don't do, that others notice, that we can be presented with opportunities to point them to this word, to fill in blanks that they have, because there's a lot of blanks. Yeah, the Judeo-Christian world anymore, you know, they preach about, they'll say Jesus, but it's raise your hand and accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and that is it. That is
exactly.
Just it. And they have just watered down the gospel on purpose. You know, the gospel we read, it turned the world upside down. And the things that it formed, you could say the gospel formed this nation, because the men that formed this nation were believers in Jesus Christ. They lived their life. They loved God, and they loved their neighbor as themselves. When you go back and see what happened to just the signers of the Declaration, and I don't have that here in front of me. I've read it before. I don't know exact, but many of them were killed in war or after their families were. Or they lost their fortunes. They were wealthy men, well off, and none of them escaped unscathed. None of them did. Why? But they had a servant's attitude. As was written down, it was for their posterity. It was for their children and their grandchildren, and it was for you and me and our children and grandchildren that they sacrificed, that they did these things. Why? Why? Because they love God, and they love their neighbors themselves, and they wanted things better, and they knew the only way to do that was, of course, with God's blessing. Again, I know we harp on it. We go back to the founding of this nation, because that's where our foundation is. It is right here in these scriptures. Here, Psalms 105, we read that a lot about, you know, 37 and about God bringing them out of Egypt and none feeble. But Psalms 105, verse 8, it says, God has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. That's a long time. The covenant, yep. It says in verse 9, which he made with Abraham in his oath to Isaac. Then he confirmed it to Isaac for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant. Now, when God says everlasting, that means it ain't done away with. It's everlasting. Yeah, you know, that's not like well, that's for now, but now things have changed. Everlasting. He made that covenant. And we know he made a new covenant. That's right. Where's that? Hebrews 8? Is that where the new covenant is? Hebrews 8? I think that's where it is, isn't it? Yeah. Hebrews 8, it quotes the Old Testament. I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The new covenant is with the exact same people that the old covenant is with. And people today realize and understand. You'll talk to Christians today and talk about the new covenant. Yes, we are in the new covenant. You're the same people as the old covenant was made with, if you are. The same people. The same people. This is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Who has been God's people, and what people have had God and Jesus Christ as their God and Lord since this time? And it's the Caucasian people, the people of Europe, the people, like you said, Patrick, that settled the Western nations, the European nations, and Canada, and America, and Australia. Those people, the Western man, that's who it is. That's who the new covenant was made for, or made with. And that's been done away with. That's been taken out of the people's consciousness and replaced by this Judeo-Christianity, which is nothing but a spell that binds the people. And this is pastor's teachings that he brought us in on and taught us. And it's truth. You know, how can you be a Judeo-Christian? Judeo denies Christ. Christian believes Christ. Huh.
I think they call that an oxymoron.
It is. And it's as Pastor pointed out, it's a spell. Folks, we've got the pamphlet, A Double-Minded People. And it explains it out. It is an absolute spell that many in America are under. And you'll even hear some of these so-called Christian patriots and somewhat, and that's what they'll say. Yes, the principles, the Judeo-Christian principles that this nation was founded on, blah, 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 blah. Usually they're Judeo more so than Christian.
Yeah.
And again, people are waking up and saying, wait a minute, it was Christian principles. You go back and look, I've said it before, but you can go back and research every state constitution in the United States when it was written, not now, maybe not now, but when it was written, every state constitution gave glory to God in one way or another. You know, we come together, members of this state, to glorify God, we give honor to the Creator, one way or another. Every state constitution, when it was formed, gave glory to God, glory to the Creator. And you know, the word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, what about the nation whose God is not the Lord, who have turned from it? Well, that's a little different, isn't it? Might not have those blessings. And that's where we're at. That's where we're living today.
I heard a former senator, Minnesota senator, he told a story that one day on the Senate, one morning on the Senate floor, he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, and they a lot of people got upset, and they wanted to censure him, so he you would talk to, you know, the politics, you know, they have a president of the Senate, and they have, I believe, a president of the House.
Right.
And he talked to her, and he goes, well, what was wrong? Don't I have a First Amendment right to preach in name of Jesus Christ? And she told him, well, you know, that's, you know, not here. You don't have a First Amendment right here, you know. Really? You know, really?
Yep.
You know, you can bring it. You can bring in all these other, because I've been down there, you know, setting up in the, what do you call it, the gallery. You know,
right.
And, you know, and every morning, you know, they have a open prayer. Sometimes it's a Christian prayer. Sometimes it's a Jewish prayer. Sometimes it's, you know, some whatever, New Age crap. You know, they would have never gotten away with that, you know, 150 years ago. Probably not even 50 years ago.
Right.
You know, they can bring this basically Satanism and you know, is it any wonder why our legislatures, state legislatures and U.S. Congress are in such poor shape? You know, when they bring these curses onto us, you know.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they are. Even Fox News was reporting, even Jeopardy fans. They had three Jeopardy fans on there, and I turned cable TV off 27 years ago. And I see news reports of this, and so here they had the fill in the blank basically, okay? And the clue is this: Matthew 6:9 says, Our Father, which art in heaven, blank be thy name. And nobody could get it. And so, you know, there you go. Nobody had it. Nobody could do it. Three of them. They didn't know hallowed. Hallowed be. Three of them didn't know their name. It was a woman, white woman, and a white man, and like maybe, you know, not a raghead, but a dark-skinned man. They had pictures of it, but nobody did, you know. And of course, and see, so that's one thing. But then they had one more question about an actor, and two out of the three got it right. See, they know that stuff. See, that's where the enemy has succeeded. The news story was that the Jeopardy fans unleash wrath over the pathetic lack of response to the biblical clue. See, there again, they put a biblical clue because I think, Patrick, you and I aren't the only ones seeing that more people are talking about God and interested in those things. And so I don't watch Jeopardy. Maybe every time they have a Bible clue. I don't know. I've never heard of it before. And so, you know, they want to appeal to the people, so they throw a Bible thing out there, and nobody could get it. And the people are unleashing wrath and calling it, this is pathetic. Now, what kind of seed does that plant? Maybe the people think, that's pathetic, they don't know it. What was it, Martha? Oh, it was this and that. Oh, really? Well, you know, and so maybe that plants a seed. That people are talk about it more and learn more about it.
Sure.
It's good to see it. It is. It's good to see it. So.
Yeah, I'm sure you've met people and talked to people about reading the Bible, and I don't understand it. I tried to read it once, or I read it once, and I don't know. And I was, well, you know, you just don't read the Bible with your eyes. You know, you got to read it with your heart.
Right.
And, you know, of the eyes of, you know, the Spirit of the Lord. I mean, you just, and that's just like anything, too. The more times you read something, the more you learn, you know, like Brother Nick said that one time down in Branson, that those nuggets, you know, you keep digging those nuggets up. And it, I mean, I don't know, this is about my ninth year reading it through, and it's like new every time, you know, because there's right. something new that I see, because you become more familiar with it. It's like reading, you know, if you got your manual for your car or something, you know, and the more time you read it, pretty soon you're working on your vehicle. You don't need, you know, you already know, you know. So I think there's some saying, I forget top of my head, that learning comes from repetition, you know. So just like praying, you got to practice.
Right. It's what you practice. And, you know, we're almost out of time. I'll close out here in Psalms 106, verse 3. How blessed are those who keep justice. And the footnote for that is judgment. How blessed are those who keep judgment, who practice righteousness at all times.
Yep.
Who practice righteousness. Part of that is judgment. Part of that is judgment of telling people and letting them know what the Word of God says. Well, Patrick, thanks for the call. Thanks for...
You bet.
Yeah. Sure appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. God bless, brother. We'll talk to you Saturday morning, I'm sure. God bless.
Yeah.
And Remnant, thank you for tuning in. And we do invite you back Friday morning for coffee with the Wranglers. And may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless those of you that are His, bless you and keep you. May His face and countenance shine upon you, grant you peace, Remnant, peace.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.